I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most biased podcast network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Boys, welcome back and How Good's Footy.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go.
Oh, thanks, Sean.
Tom, thank you. Sean, so good to be back. After a month off, footy is so close again that I can almost taste it.
I tell you what, I was I've been enjoying the cricket. I've been getting into the cricket. Yeah. I've been watching more Big Bash. I forget how much I love having just the cricket on.
Yeah.
In the background.
Cricket's
stuff.
Just a poor man's football.
I've realized that this week when the AFLW posted like a highlights package for some players, and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm ready for footy. Like, just, it wasn't much. It was just watching, like, I think it was one of the Freo Dockers players. I think it might have been Ebony Antonio. Just, like, sell some of the best candy I've ever seen. And I was like, oh, I'm ready. And then it coincided with this weekend, the match, scratch matches.
Yeah, practice match. I think they only get one practice match.
They do, yeah. Yeah. And just, like, seeing, like, no footage because none of it was filmed, but just watching like the live tweet of that and Geelong like Twitter being like the Geelong Footy Club Twitter talking about like play, like one point there was a passage of play where Rochelle Cranston laid three tackles in a row and I was like, I'm here for it. I'm ready.
That's very big.
Did you win, Tom?
No, they didn't win. No. Yeah. It sounded like the forward line, which is probably going to be our most vulnerable thing in this year, just is still taking some time to gel.
We
were playing pretty well, and then I think Melbourne just got away from us in the third and second quarter, and then any damage we'd done in the first quarter, and then we left our run a little bit too late. But hey, it's a practice match. You don't show all your cards in a practice match.
Hopefully Brisbane didn't show all their cards when they won.
Pretty comfortably.
But like three goals. They played the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
From memory, Brisbane have had bad pre-seasons.
Yeah.
Was it last year? Maybe it was the year before, I'm thinking. I remember they got absolutely smashed by the Giants one year. And so everyone was all doom and gloom. And then, you know, Brisbane did what they do every year and just sort of just
turned
it happen.
On. Yep. Yes.
Except for that one year they didn't. But other than that, yeah.
Well, it was bigger even last year considering that you'd lost more players again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I don't know. Do you reckon we're coming to the point now where there's going to be like more stability though? Because I'm pretty sure Brisbane had their off season was like the best one they've had since the league started in terms of they didn't lose that many players. Yeah. They still lost players, but like I think it was the year before they just got absolutely smashed.
Yeah, the AFLW had put a cap on how many players clubs could take from certain other clubs, but it was like 8, and I think Gold Coast took 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, something you got fucked back to back because you got fucked when North Melbourne came in.
Yeah.
Because they poached, they went hard. And then you got fucked again when the next wave came in because Richmond and Gold Coast. Whereas I think now, I think the competition's starting to balance out where also clubs are looking like locally. The drafts are getting better each year. Local talent's getting better each year.
Yeah.
Pathways that they set up 5 years ago are starting to pay off. in these draft years. So I think you're going to see less poaching. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but
you won't lose seven key players in one season again. Maybe
on the back of losing probably seven the year before.
Yeah.
And so you boys, you're at that point. Me, on the other hand, I'm lost this year because 2021, for the last couple of years, was the point where I was just like mentally preparing for an Essendon AFLW team. And then COVID fucked me.
So it was actually, sorry, I'm unclear on this. They were definitely supposed to join in 2021.
I think that was the idea. Like, to be honest, it changed probably pre-COVID. But yeah. I think in I can't remember if it was 2018 or 2019. Hawthorn and Essendon were meant to join the league the year after. Was it? Who joined last year? Was it
West Coast, St Kilda, Richmond, and Gold Coast? I think you two and one of maybe Sydney or Port, I don't know, were supposed to join as well. Well,
no, it was us Hawks? And Hawthorn.
Yeah, the Hawks.
That's it.
It was us and Hawthorn, and at that point in time, Port Adelaide and Sydney were yet to make a bid on an AFLW team.
Everybody should be shitting their pants for when Hawthorn joined the league.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've already got Beck Goddard coaching the VFLW team.
And their VFLW team is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll surely be good to go for 2022. I don't know about Essendon. Just like a long-term plan, I was like, it's all right, this year, this is going to be the year that it happens. And then last year, I realized when no one was talking about it. And in fact, the opposite was happening where Richmond were like, yeah, our VFLW team, it's not happening. And everyone was like, fuck you. And we were like, fuck you. And everyone was like, nah, really, fuck you. And they were like, no, it's all right. We'll sort something out. And everyone was like, they're going to go back on this. And then they said, psych, no, we're not. And then everyone said, fuck you again. And they should still be saying, fuck you, Richmond, because it's still a dog shit decision made by a fuckhead club.
And even worse, I think in the fact that they would have they won again.
Yeah.
So like they've had another windfall.
Yeah.
And I know that in this whole year, windfalls are kind of weird to measure because every club's lost money, staff. Like it's been a shithouse year. But I still find it baffling that they are allowed to retain their AFL license, and there are two Victorian clubs who have VFLW sides, and have particularly. I don't know what Essendon's women's side's like in the VFL, Joel, but Hawthorn is successful and they have a good setup and a good foundation. And I think they were a little bit miffed that they missed out in 2020. But then for Richmond just to come out and be a bunch of fuckheads, it's just like...
Big season for Richmond.
Yeah.
I mean, A, they need to win their first game ever.
Yep.
But also, yeah, I mean, if they have another season like they did for what they... Oh, how many games did we get through last season before everything got shut down? We got all the way through till grand final week.
Semifinals were the last week.
But they also ended the regular season, I think, a week
short,
early.
Didn't they?
A week early.
I think they ended it just before Brisbane was about to play Richmond, and I was just licking my lips. I was like, here we go.
Well, I've just gone... Yeah, so round six was the last round.
Yeah,
and then they had the first week of finals, and then they didn't get to the prelims.
Yeah.
Jeez, there were some big finals and some not-so-good ones.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sean.
That's okay. And, yeah, I just checked in because I was pretty certain with the Essendon VFLW team because I know that in the news recently, the hanger was like, fuck, we are so ready for an AFLW team. And they'd like upgraded their facilities to prepare for it. And apparently the VFLW team was using it. I remember reading that, but I wanted to double check to make sure I didn't sound like an idiot. If someone was like, actually, Joel, they don't have a VFLW team. You're dreaming it. You're a fuckhead. But no, I'm not dreaming it. And apparently the Essendon VFLW team is like, yeah, COVID happened, but whew, we are firing for 2021. We're hungry. We want some footy.
Love that.
So, again... And I don't know if I made this clear before. And I would hate in the first episode of the year to be like, my words to be a little bit muddy or like me to not make a point.
You're properly. Not at your best because you've been off for about a week.
But so. I want to make it very clear. The Richmond Football Club can get fucked.
Look, before we dive into talking about our own teams, do we want to address the Hardwick-sized elephant in the Richmond Footy Club rooms?
Well, I'm just happy he's miserable.
Good. Good. Like, because, boys, the word on the street is that the players have basically said they'll play for Trent Koch and they won't play for Damien Hardwick, and that's it.
And that's good.
I would too. Love the Koch.
Do it enough for Dusty.
Do it for Jack Raywalt's girlfriend's dad. That man seems like a good bloke.
Tom, just like
Tom, be careful remembering back to grand final day, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a lot of happiness there.
No, I'm okay with it, boys. I'm okay because I'm going to do the double in 21 and that'll make it better.
Yeah, good. Mm. It's going to have a shaved head all year.
Oh.
But yeah, so I think coming back to what we were circling around before, this year, the AFLW season, I think I'm just going to try and ingest as much footy as possible because I'm lost. I was ready to make the transition and it's like there was two trains side by side and I was ready to jump and then there was just no train waiting for me and I'm in the air and I'm like, I just don't know what to do.
Joel, are you saying you're not picking a team?
Oh, I'm saying I am, Sean, but I'm going to follow my heart and I just don't know where my heart's going to lead me at the moment.
So you're going to wait for maybe the first week to see
what... Just going to suss it out. I think...
this reeks of, I'll just wait, I'll suss it out and then I'll... Make someone good based on the ladder.
Yeah, so I'm going to figure out, I'll probably take like, well, so there's 9 rounds this year. Yeah.
Take 5 weeks.
I'm thinking I might take 8. No. I really like the idea, and like Gemma has mentioned it, friend of the show Gemma, for any new listeners that are looking for a footy podcast and has no fucking idea what we're talking about, and they're like, wow, these boys really, really hate Richmond. Yes, correct. Collingwood too. Again, 2021. Not only is it going to be better than 2020 for a lot of reasons, but Eddie Maguire at the end of this year will not have a job in the Collingwood Football Club. And let's not forget that.
Guys, it's 10 years too late.
We're a big part of that, I think.
Huge part of it.
Yeah. I think listen to this. I think it's definitely us and definitely not the findings from the internal document raised by Heretia Lumumba's defamation. Yeah.
Yes. Well, claims. I think that definitely the only way that his last year could be any better is on the way out if they hit him with a bat.
Or they hit him with a wooden spoon.
Yes!
Oh, even better. Even better.
But basically, back to what I was saying, I really like the way that Gemma watches football. I like the idea of just like being very impressed with individual players and therefore barracking for them, because it's already happening. Like, I mean, it has happened for years now, but maybe I should just be like, all right, let's just see. Because, like, it's huge. There's so many AFLW players where I'm like, fucking hell.
I mean,
like what you're about.
Taylor Harris has already had a crack at Collingwood in the game. Like, they're playing him in round 3.
There was photos that came out of a training session, and her kick action has gotten even more hectic. Her leg was almost entirely vertical, and I was like, fuck, that ball must have gone 80 meters.
Jesus. And she's still been boxing. She's been boxing all quarantine.
She's been boxing the whole time.
She's ready for a punch on.
It's going to be...
You forget how young she is, too. Isn't she like 22 or 23?
Fuck, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's really young.
She's definitely mid-20s. I don't know...
I think she's younger.
Well, no, because her first year would have been... She would have been 18, 19.
Yeah, she was... Yep. She's a weapon. She's going to be playing for years.
Jesus. Jeez. She's 23.
Yeah.
This is...
I think Joel's still a Carlton man.
No, but the thing is, Sarah Hosking plays for Richmond now.
Yeah, but the other Hosking's still there.
Jess, yes.
Yes. They split the partnership.
Yeah, which is a ridiculous call.
Dangerous call. Carlton might implode, actually.
Yeah.
They've taken... that would be like... Hopefully. Trading out the Antonios out of Freo, splitting wife and wife and making them play for different... Fuck. You'd lose at least, I think, 75% of what makes your team powerful by separating twins or separating couples.
It's ridiculous. We'll never know how powerful the Selwoods could have been.
We only ever had two of them. Imagine if Geelong might have won a premiership every single year if we'd had all four.
Yeah, imagine.
I just want to quickly go through Taylor Harris's boxing record because I just found it while I was looking for how old she is. First fight, win. Second fight, win. Third fight, win.
Okay.
Fourth fight, win.
Okay.
Fifth fight, draw.
That feels like the ref called it early to mercy rule.
And then after the draw... She's been in 3 more fights. And up until this point, she hadn't won on a knockout. The next three, she wins all three by technical knockout.
Wow.
So the draw.
That's done into action.
Holy shit. Man, you know, okay, boys, if Carlton want to win the flag, it's simple. They can't beat Collingwood. They have to draw with them.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because if every three games, they have to give Taylor Harris a draw so that she's not a loss, because that might destabilize everything, but just a draw. So they still get like 2 points. And then she comes out and she has a technical knockout, which I guess is where she kicks 10 goals.
Or just kills someone.
Hard I'd like to see 4 straight weeks of draws from Carlton. Just supercharge her.
Oh.
It's like Gaz going to church.
Can I just have a look? If that happens, Sean, I am curious to know who would be copping Carlton in round... Geez, so then the very next game after... So round 5, they're playing Melbourne. We might never see the Melbourne Football Club again.
Good.
I'm just checking if they're playing either of our teams after that point. I think we're... Oh, no, Sean. We've got them. Geelong's got them in round 8.
It's all right. We'll have worn off by then.
All right, good.
Also, hopefully. Something I forgot about Taylor Harris and something that you would absolutely remember, Sean, because when I, again, went on her Wikipedia, I forgot that she played her first season for Brisbane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First 2 seasons, no?
No, first
yes.
season.
Just the I think it was 2.
I first 2. She made 2 grand finals and then left, I thought.
That's what I thought.
Here
I could
it
be
is listed as she played...
If only we had a friend who knew everything about AFLW.
She'll be so angry.
She'll be listening to this just like...
No.
I'm pretty sure she played 2 seasons at Brisbane because she's played in the most number of grand finals.
Mm. Or alternatively, she played in the league's inaugural 2017 season and then got traded to Carlton in 2018.
Fuck, really?
Yeah. I mean, we are arguing with me who has literally is looking her up, but...
No, I don't think that's right.
She
her impact on my heart was 2 years worth.
Oh, and her trade was fucked.
Okay, actually. No. Was she traded out at the end of 2018? Because remember, the women's season's earlier in the year.
She played 6 matches with her new club in 2018 and kicked 5 goals.
Fuck. But I could have really sworn. I could have sworn. Yeah. Jesus.
Also, her trade to Carlton was a complex trade deal involving 4 teams, 5 players, and a draft pick.
Yeah.
Big. Anyway, Taylor Harris, love her. I mean, I follow her on Instagram, and every time she posts a photo of her holding a football, I'm like, fuck. The AFLW is in trouble. Like every other player, look out.
Nah, look, you say that, but also the Geelong Footy Club's been putting out a lot of content of Rocky just like doing heaps of weights, and she laid 3 tackles in a row on the weekend, and I think put some people for the first time ever in a preseason game. She didn't get suspended, so
yeah. Both the Hosking sisters have also been firing off a lot of content. Everyone's getting real hype for AFLW, and it's exciting.
It's good. Well, we haven't had like. It's exciting. We're going to have footy in Victoria again for the first time in about 12 months.
And, I mean, look, COVID's still very much around, and they're already this season, I'm scared about it, because GWS have relocated to avoid new, like, Sydney, basically. I think they've moved down to Albury or something like that.
Yeah, they're in Albury.
So, well, it'd be interesting to see how many games we get in before something happens, especially because the Australian Open, obviously that involves international players, but the Australian Open is probably the most fucked a sporting event has ever been fucked.
It's incredible. And boys, you know what the best part of this today? So there's 2 things that have come out that have been incredible.
Mm.
So obviously there's the whole 72 players, I think, are now caught up in having to quarantine for 14 days, which means they cannot train or go anywhere.
72? I thought it was 72. 47.
No,
it's
gone up. There
was 25 new players today.
25 new players today. All part of that same group. Now, these aren't the top-seeded players. The top-ranked players have all been in Adelaide doing their quarantining, and then we'll come across to Melbourne, I think, next week. Mm. So they have a week in Melbourne. It's all kind of like your wildcard entries or your mid-tier-seeded players. Guess who's put his hand up with some suggestions to the Victorian government on how to properly run a tennis match in time of COVID?
That would be old mate. Was it Djokovic or was it?
Yeah.
It was Djokovic.
Novak Djokovic is like, hey, I'm really good at running tennis events in a pandemic, like that one I ran, which caused a massive super spreader event in the Balkans. and I got it. Also, I don't believe in vaccines. I should be running... These are some suggestions. And Dan Andrews was at the premiere of Victoria, was interviewed about it today and was like, look, that's great. He can have a lot of suggestions. That's his right as a tennis player, but no.
Yeah, his suggestions were fucked. They were like, yeah,
put everyone in a big house with a tennis court.
Yeah, put everyone in a big house. Better food, less isolation was some.
Mm.
But cunt, 14 days isolation is the thing. Like,
yeah. There's no- and also, we're not taking advice from you. Who was like, nah, I'm going to make an event. It's going to be the safest event we've got. And it wasn't.
Tommy, can I just clarify something about Novak, who I think is a cunt and a dumb one at that? I think the reason why he's the one who put that out is because he's the president of the Players Association.
No, he's not. Not anymore. What? He was. So he was. And then
what?
Sean, what were you saying about a dumb cunt?
What happened?
No, he was, but I'm pretty sure he stepped away.
No.
Because it would have been a conflict of interest for him creating this tournament. And I think he now has
what's the name of the role? We can find... I'm pretty fact-checking.
Tom, I hadn't heard that.
In an article I was reading today about him putting out these proposals.
Oh, well, I have not read about him in a while, so you'll probably
said,
got me.
It said something about the former president of the... Like, that was how they described him at one point. Here we go.
Wow.
I'm trying to find the list of proposals. I can't... I'm not going to be able to find this article now.
It's all right. I still think he's a dumb cunt.
Yeah, he was in office until the 30th of August 2020.
Shit. Yeah. Okay.
So he stepped out. You know who should become president of the Players Association, boys? Nick Kyrgios.
Oh, fucking hell.
The man who went to war with all of these European players who were like, COVID isn't a big deal. And every day on Twitter, he was just like, you're all fucking idiots.
Is he playing in the Open?
I think he is, yeah.
Hope he wins.
I hope so too. Look, as an Australian, we now have a huge leg up.
Oh, yeah. We got the biggest advantage of all time.
Imagine if it came out that COVID was created by Australians so that we could win an Australian Open.
How much do you think Ash Barty is just going to tear the competition apart?
Well, she got to watch her team win a premiership, and she's like, I want to do that again.
Leighton Hewitt should come out of retirement.
I reckon.
Rafter. Get them all out. Philip Lucas, bring them all back.
Yeah.
Burn Atomic's like, here we go, boys.
He is playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon Ash Barty is probably still charged up on those grand final beers.
Absolutely. Has to be. I love this talk about Nick Kyrgios and the Australian Open and Ash Barty. I think, though, we should get back to the real sporting event that will unite the nation, and that is the AFLW season kicking off in 2 weeks. And, Dusha, you don't have a team. You've told us your strategy.
Mm.
You're going to just go with your heart, cheat like a piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Wait until 8 weeks into the season and then decide which team has the most players I like the most. I mean, the most players.
Yeah, yeah. The most players who win.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. That's a good way to go. Sean.
Thomas.
What are you looking forward to for the Brisbane Lions, Matt?
Ah, a premiership. Clearly.
I mean, obviously, besides that, we're all chasing that.
Can I clarify, gentlemen? Are we once again pledging?
Sure. You better fucking believe it.
All right, that's a pledge from Tom. Joel.
I can't pledge because I don't have a team, but I hope that you, next year, absolutely, obviously.
Right. I'm doing a double pledge right here, right now, for both the women's and the men's comp.
I'd also like to go on the record with a double pledge.
Yeah, and I'm going to go for the obvious single pledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, next year I hope to also be able to double pledge.
Well, I'll tell you what, the double pledge, I'm shitting myself. I think I'm going to have a cold head all year. And I know that every year we write Brisbane off, and I think the AFL report on Brisbane in the AFLW is like, oh, a young list. They should be thereabouts in finals, hopefully. I think they're a big chance. I think there's finally some continuity. I think the midfield is like the midfield hasn't gotten any worse. It's only going to get better.
Mm.
There's genuine guns in that midfield. Questionable probably in the ruck, but I don't know how much that matters when you've got guns just sharking the ball.
Yeah. I mean, Geelong made it to the premiership with no really good ruckman, so.
Well, yeah. Have you got a, who's your ruckman, Tom?
For the
women's.
Women's team. We've got Astor O'Connor, who's a jet.
All right.
They've
got that sorted then.
Yeah. We should actually get her in the men's team as well.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Brisbane's forward line's like probably that one thing. Like, I think Wooshner's still the leading goal kicker in the entire competition. Weirdly, because she had a rough year.
She got electrocuted.
Yeah, she got electrocuted and missed like games here and there, and it sort of didn't really. She didn't have continuity in her season. So I think getting her back in, and then you've got Jess Wardlaw, who in patches last year looked fucking awesome, and she's only like 20 years old. Maybe
she
even
had
younger.
Big game against us, but she kicked a handful, she
just,
didn't she?
She just clunks marks.
Yeah,
she could go through the ruck as well, I reckon too. And then. Oh, you boys will remember Dakota Davidson. Remember her fucking goal from like 45 last year?
Yeah.
So if you get Woosh, Wardlaw, and Dakota up and running, I think it's immediately a better forward line. And I never worry about the back line.
Yeah.
Why is that, Sean?
Yeah. We got the fucking goat. We got the goat back there. The greatest of all time. Someone's missing. I think, Sharni Webb. We're not going to have Sharni Webb for the season because she's pregnant, which is a bummer.
Congratulations.
Fuck, she's a gun.
Yeah.
But we've got the two Sfark sisters. I don't know.
That's right. You drafted a second Sfark, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We doubled up, and I hope that powers us to a flag.
I'll tell you what, some other teams might be Sfarked.
What I'm most excited about is probably Orla O'Dwyer again. She's the Irish girl. I just reckon last year was her first season, and she showed signs. But like another preseason, another year in the AFL game, I reckon she's going to be awesome. I really do. I think she's going to break games open this year.
And Tom?
It's interesting. I think last year, like just looking at it last year, there was our win-loss record obviously wasn't great.
Yeah.
But I don't think our win-loss record actually reflected the team's performances across the year. Which sounds like there were patches of games where, like, there was a game against Adelaide where we only lost by 11 points and we were in it right up until the end, and then they ran off at the top of us. And the game against North where we were in front and then Nina Morrison did her knee and literally every player just went to bed because that's pretty fucking awful. I just, looking at the list, we've got Meg McDonald was missing for half of the season last year. She's back. She's the new captain as well. Put a hand up, going, yep, I'll take over from Mel Hickey, no worries.
Mm-hmm.
So she's back for the whole season, and while she was injured, it meant that other players were able to have a bit of time in that back line who've really improved. So that back line's looking rock solid again. The midfield has got some absolute guns in it who are like young stars as well. Like Olivia Purcell made the All-Australian, won our best and fairest. She's 20. Like, Jesus, she's only going to get better. Nina Morrison will come back at some point in this season. We also picked up a bunch of gun midfielders in the draft, in Maloney and Gardner. And then there's Denby Taylor was one who's, when she first got to the club, they were talking in our inaugural season, I interviewed Mel Hickey and said, you know, you've got the number one draft pick in Nina Morrison. Who is the player to watch, though, at your club? And she said, Denby Taylor is one of the cleanest moves I've ever seen. She did her ankle round one last year, missed the whole season. So she's back. There's a real belief, I think, in this club to translate, I guess, the almost of the last couple of seasons to, like, results this year. The forward line's a tricky one for us.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Darby's off, similar to Sharni Webb, having a baby. So it means that Phoebe McWilliams is kind of the only main target, which might mean that Cranston gets deployed Dangerfield style on the forward line.
I love that. If you can afford to do that.
Yeah.
Which I think we can as a midfield. So Cranston's tough, but she's not quick. She's not as quick as some of our other midfielders. And I reckon she'll rest on the ball, but I reckon I wouldn't be surprised if you see her playing centre half forward, full forward this year.
When do you think Nina will be back?
So it was round five with the knee. They're being cautious, obviously, but she's back training pretty much. And Paul Hood, the coach, was like, I'm happy with where she's at. Obviously, we're going to be cautious because this is the second knee and she's 20.
Yeah.
But fuck, if she can get back to being just in the side, just, you know, it's good. There's players like Becky Webster, Geordie Ivey, who've also taken better steps. And the other thing, too, that was sort of handy for Geelong is they're in Victoria, but they're in Geelong. So with the restrictions, they're actually able to train more than some of the Melbourne-based clubs,
which unfair is advantage. Fair enough. That's something to be excited about, the unfair advantage.
And look, we've still got the best tattoo in the business, and that's Julia Crockett Grills' tattoo of a lemur fishing with a crocodile on her arm.
Hey, on tattoos, can I tell you, Brisbane have a secret weapon that could absolutely power them to the flag.
Oh, yeah. No.
What is it?
Young player, Bella Dawes. She has a tattoo of Bart Simpson.
That's pretty good. It just makes
me
laugh. Good.
I love that. I really love that.
That's huge. And look, Tom, that's exciting. Sean, that's exciting. And I think what's exciting for me is I'm just really excited to walk into an AFLW game and the moment I sit in my chair to spew up from excitement. just to fucking throw up everywhere just because I'll just be unbelievably excited. And I've just had a quick look at my roster. I'm not working the Thursday of round one. So maybe it's time for me to fucking walk on down or drive to Icon Park, fucking saddle in and watch a murder.
Oh, mate, I'll meet you there.
I mean, the exciting factor too, just on talking about going to games, is that the conferences are gone and you can pay for a ticket now. Tickets are $10, which is so good. Boys, I pulled the trigger this year. I bought an AFLW membership.
Tom, that's great. Also,
that is good.
Before next week's episode starts, I will have done the same.
Oh, yes. Because he's waiting to see who's going to win.
Yeah, if I can buy a membership to just all my money just goes to Taylor Harris, then that's fine.
You probably could do that. There's like player sponsorship things, isn't there?
Well.
Nah, yeah. Do you know what? I reckon Taylor Harris, you're never going to get a sponsor. She's probably already got someone doing it.
Yeah.
Jess Hosking. You can sponsor one half of the Hoskings.
I might go to the game and then ask if she, after the game, she just give me her bank details. I'll just transfer her some money. Hey, Jess, great game. Can I just grab your bank details? I'm just going to sponsor you for the season, but I don't want to go through any. Look, I'm just going to send you some money.
It's like $30.
It's all I can afford.
It's $4.50. That's all I got.
But I think the AFL and AFLW, especially the AFLW, but the AFL should do it too. Just release all of the players' bank details and just let us send them money directly if we're feeling it.
Yeah, that seems like a plan that will never backfire.
I think it's great.
I think it's great too.
Tell you what, the players would love it. They'd get around it.
They would.
Or
they
just get everyone
would.
To set up a PayPal and you can just like donate to them so it's a bit safer.
That is so dangerous for people like us watching though. Because like all it would take is like Dakota kicking a goal from 55 and I'd be like, here's $1,000. Oh, right away. I wouldn't even think.
I would be broke in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The players would run out and be like, oh fuck yeah, there we go. Olivia Purcell. Yeah. Oh, Croc Girl's got another tattoo of an orangutan fishing with a bat. Done.
what if Lutkins snuck forward and kicked a goal? That'd be my life savings. They'd vanish in a moment.
I would be broke because the first game that Nina Morrison came back, I'd give her $1,000 just in case she needs to buy a new knee.
Yeah.
I'd give her my knee.
You'd watch her run through the banner and just transfer.
Done. Yeah. I think it would be scary because every tackle Taylor Harris laid, I'd be trying to send my car through my phone.
That's take it. The tackles, man. I'm looking forward to more than the first like great goal is the first huge tackle.
They're going to be up for it too. They're going to absolutely be up for it.
Yeah.
I always forget how fucked they are. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, AFLW, watching it, having a good time. And then someone will just land a mammoth tack and I'll be like, fuck, is she dead?
Brisbane, like, boys, Brisbane have a new recruit and I've heard she's a tackling machine.
Name's
Courtney
fuck.
Hodder. And she was, apparently she was like a gun junior. Mm. And then she went away from footy and she played rugby. So she's just been tackling.
No.
She's just been tackling up a storm. And then she's come back to AFL. And apparently she's just going to be awesome. She played in the scratch match on the weekend and was just destroying people.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I genuinely think Brisbane's going to win. I think it's happening.
I know, Sean.
Yeah, you should.
Fire up the Clippers. Get them ready.
Yeah. We'll need them for one of us. So
cannot wait for in like 11 or 12 weeks to be like, boys, how good's footy? And then immediately just hear a in the microphone because it's Clippers time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's huge.
Fuck.
All right, Sean.
Yeah.
You're going Brisbane for the premiership.
Yes.
I'm going Geelong for the premiership. Dusha. Whoa, who's winning the flag?
Big. That's really, really
and
big.
And I guess to make it interesting, Sean, who are you beating? Because I think Geelong are probably going to have to beat Freo to win a premiership.
Maybe Adelaide.
Oof. Oh, Phillips is back, isn't she?
A rematch of the 2017 grand final?
Yeah, the first year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think... it was Adelaide that did the huge murder last year or the year before? No, it was the year before, wasn't it? Yeah. Where in a final it was like 64-6 or something.
Where they killed Geelong and then the following week they killed Carlton.
Yeah. I want one of your teams to win, but I think that Adelaide, they're going to be very hungry.
Boys, it's purple. They were the best. I don't think they lost a game last year. Oh, they were flying into the finals. They won their semi-final by 10 goals.
Yeah. You know what?
Shit. I'm shitting myself. Put the Clippers back in the drawer, boys.
Don't get around just yet.
And they've lost no one.
Yeah. Look.
And they'll be so hungry because they'll be so angry at what happened last year.
Correct. Yeah, and they've got the best coach in Fremantle in Trent Cooper.
That's true.
And the AFLM Freo team is starting to show some heart now that Garlic Breath is dead. Yeah. So,
yeah. And again, they have one thing that no other footy club has. They have a married couple on their list.
Yeah. Fuck.
The power of love, boys.
Trumps everything. It does. Powerful.
Geelong's going to beat them and it'll be tragic. But they're in my opinion, it's Freo and, yeah, they're the team to beat.
Yeah. I think... Yeah. Yeah, Freo is a good call. You've turned me around on it. I forgot. I think when I think of Freo last year, there was such a powerhouse that I just see white, my brain starts panicking and I get the sweats.
Tom, you mentioning Freo has made me forget about Adelaide. Fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're gone.
Who's Adelaide? South Australia? Never heard of it.
Never heard of that state. No. That doesn't exist. Next question, boys. Is who's winning the W award? Who's going home winning the Carnlow medal?
Oh.
Unfortunately, it won't be Taylor Harris because she's going to get reported in the first round for knocking out most of the Collingwood team.
There's a huge chance Prasparkas goes back-to-back.
Prasparkas is a great choice.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
If it's someone, I'd love to see...
Oh, fuck.
Purcell get it.
Fuck, I'm in Edna Barrigan for Carlton at this rate. I keep forgetting about their players.
Mate, they got, you know what? I'd love Purcell to win. I don't know if she will. I feel like though it'll be a Freo player maybe. So maybe
on someone new.
It'd be good. You know what? Fuck it. Just
out of the heavens.
Out of the heavens. Purcell, boys. That's what I'm going
Kalinda.
On. Kalinda. Oh,
kicking 25 goals.
In a single game. Yeah, she gets it. No, you know what? That's Kalinda Howarth. Fuck yeah.
Why not?
That'd be big.
If I'd go from Brisbane, I'd say probably Anderson.
Yeah.
Because I think she just always plays well. And if Brisbane are winning games, that'll only just make it stronger.
Yeah.
It depends if Wooshner gets struck by lightning again.
Oh, that's true.
It's true.
Because if she does, easy. Put it, just lock it up. Like, it's in the bag.
It didn't work out,
though.
Safest
bet in the world.
We thought it would. But why doesn't being struck by lightning work? Damn it.
Why doesn't it work? Oh, God. Nah, look, yeah, Purcell, all in.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'd love to say Rocky, but she'll get reported. Same problem. She has the same problem that Taylor Harris has.
Or a smirky Sarah Hoskins for Richmond. First year in a new club. Stands out. Anyway, Tom.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Joel, I haven't asked you this for a month, but I'm just wondering, have we got any emails?
Tom, we do. We do have some emails. And thank you to everyone who emailed us in our off-season. It's given us a bit of juice to end the episode on. So, I'm going to start this with an email that's very up our alley. It's from Braden. And I will say, there is a lot to this email. And Braden, if you're listening, I am cherry-picking and I apologize. But your email, it's too fucking long! No, I appreciate it, and I appreciate long emails, and I
just
really
don't
appreciate
let
it,
happen it again.
Because yeah. I can do exactly what I'm about to do now. So this is from Braden. Howdy, lads of the leather. First off, I have some footy player IRL stories, which we put the call out for ages ago, but these ones, bit left of center, because Braden has nearly had a wee with Matthew Richardson and Bob Murphy. So in what Braden is saying, in maybe 2017, I was lining up for a customary halftime wee during a Richmond-Brisbane clash at the Gabba, when I looked to my right only to see none other than Bloody Richo tap me on the shoulder and ask me how quick the line was moving. Yeah, pretty quick. Not too long, I reckon, I fumbled. So anyway, Richo sort of slides up to me and basically pushes into my spot. I don't protest. We have a quick 20-second chat. I bite my tongue to avoid making a joke about his accuracy, and then we just start to round the corner. He sees how chock as it is, and he bails, presumably to use a Channel 7 toilet. No idea why I didn't do that to begin with, but I can only assume it had something to do with BT. Then, in 2019, I fluked a grand final ticket when an old-school friend of my dad invited him, but he, having already seen the 1980 flag and being busy, graciously sent me in his place. I think he was just being a good dad.
Okay.
These were fancy grand final package tickets, though, so we're up in the boxes. Anyway, again, offloading some beers at halftime, zip up, turn around, and practically bump into some other punter. Oh no, wait, that's fucking Bob Murphy! I had enough on board to fearlessly slap him on the shoulder and compliment him on his podcast before realizing he was mid-conversation with someone he actually knew. So I stumbled off looking like a bit of a clown. Bob was very nice, though. Anyway, there's my weird two stories. And I have one more bonus one of a very passionate fan interaction that I think you might all appreciate. My mom is also a mad Brisbane supporter and baked them all muffins, which she gave to them at the airport as they returned from the grand final loss in 2004.
Oh, that's a noble service.
Which led to Luke Power giving her a pair of his boots, which she had framed. And I thought you'd all appreciate it.
That's great.
I actually nearly had the chance to meet Simon Black because my old footy coach had a connection to him and brought him to our club for a cheeky session. I desperately wanted to ask him if he remembered eating a muffin upon arrival back from Brisbane in 2004, but I got stuck late at work that day, unfortunately. Biggest disappointment of my life. Cheers, Braden.
That is amazing.
That is wild.
What a legend.
Go your mum.
My mum met Simon Black.
That's huge.
She making a muffin?
No, I think like she was on like, she used to work at a school, so she was with some students and they were just all obsessed with Simon Black. They saw him outside of a shopping center or something and just chatted to him for a couple minutes. Lovely bloke.
Yeah, that checks.
Yeah.
Our next email is from Tim. And this is a response to an email that we got last season, which I'll refresh everyone on. So Jordan emailed us doing the maths on a hypothetical situation Tom spoke about, which was if one team just sat down and stopped playing footy, how much would the other team win by? And Jordan, on shift at his job as an accountant, I believe, figured out the maths based on, I think it was Mighty Ducks. Yeah, Mighty Ducks 3,
yeah,
which he then claimed as the Duckworth O'Reilly method. And Tim has done the maths on top of Jordan's maths and is calling him out.
Oh, shit.
So Tim,
this is way too much math already.
and I think this is best summed up. The rebuttal immediately is best summed up with Tim's opening sentence. Jordan, if you're going to do the maths, do it right or don't do it at all.
Oh. It's a lot of dad energy there.
Whack.
Disclaimer. I've done this with whole rounded numbers because there's no way the AFL is precise enough for fractions of a second to be accurate. The Duckworth-O'Reilly method assumes a goal can be scored in less than a second. In ice hockey, top players can launch the puck at 40 metres per second. An Olympic ice hockey rink is 61 metres long, or less than 30 metres centred to the goal. Less than a second is therefore technically possible. But this is footy. The grounds are bigger, the ball is slower. We have this pesky bounce thing that starts the clock, and it doesn't stop until the umpire signals the goal. The shortest AFL ground is the SCG at 152 metres long, or 76 metres centre to goal. To use the Duckworth-O'Reilly method and to score 28,800 points, you would need to kick the ball the instant it was bounced by the umpire, which is against the rules of the game, at more than 76 metres per second average speed, because air resistance will slow it down. That's 275 kilometres an hour. And then the goal umpire would need to signal to the goal. Would need to signal the goal the instant it crossed the line. It takes them at least 3 seconds from when the ball isn't traveling at 1/5 the speed of sound. So what would the actual score be? The fastest bounce to goal I can find with a quick Google search, near enough 9 seconds, and then a link to Gary Ablett doing it.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's against the Demons.
Oof. Is that in the murder game?
No, that was in the game the year after the murder game. Oh, no, wait, no. It wouldn't have been the murder game because he wasn't playing that year. Okay. That was 2011, and he'd gone to Gold Coast by then.
Ah.
And he also found footage of Delidio doing the same thing. However, the clock actually stops after 13 seconds for Ablett, and Lid's goal stops after 14. However, the fastest centre to goal I can find is Buddy, where the clock stops 10 seconds after he receives it in the centre circle. Assuming 2 seconds from bounce to gaining possession, because that's more or less what it looks like, and that the 8-metre difference between the MCG and SCG is covered by the lack of... speed on the ball from a bounce, then we have fuck, this is getting hectic.
There's so much math and I understand zero of it.
And we have a theoretical contested goal time of 12 seconds. We'll take roughly 10% off for efficiencies gained by not having an opposition, but honestly 12 seconds is already efficient, effectively uncontested, giving us a time per goal of 11 seconds.
Yeah.
20 minutes per quarter is...
Get to the point, Tim!
Fuck!
So, last paragraph. This is the point, Sean.
You know what? This is Jordan's fault. If he'd done the math, Tim wouldn't have had to put in the hard yards to do this.
And also...
Fuck Jordan. Come on,
but,
man.
But I will say this in defense. Jordan made it more interesting because he talked about Mighty Ducks 3.
That's
Tim
true.
Has just talked numbers, and it's gone on for almost a year.
So...
Is this Hawthorn, Tim?
I don't know.
Feels like it.
So... 20 minutes per quarter is 12,000 divided by 11 is 109.09 goals a quarter, which will round up to 110 with a goal after the siren, which gives us a final score of 2,640-0. That is the maximum score in an AFL game and the average score of the How Good's Footy Emailers All-Australian Team 2020.
That's pretty good.
Signing off, Tim.
Nah, look, Tim, that's good.
Is it too early to shut down the inbox for the year?
Whoa, fuck!
Who's putting in? Yeah, no one's gonna put in that much effort, are they?
No, that's big. Yeah. Anyway, last email for today, and last email of this episode. The light's fading in my room. I'm fading to black over this Zoom call. We gotta get out. We gotta turn the lights on. So, this is from Jacob, and listeners of the show will recognize him from last year as the man who is gonna fight his dad.
This is what I want.
So, hey boys, hope your summer breaks are going well. Cheers to the inclusion on the How Good's Footy Emailer All-Australian 2020 team. Some news on the fight with Dad. He rode a bike for the first time today, so we'll probably wrestle in the backyard on Australia Day. Also... just noticed on Twitter that the Bont has cut his hair. What will this mean? Can he lead his team to another flag with such a haircut? In other news, I graduated school and have signed up to play footy in my local league. If you're ever in the southeast, feel free to come see the Berwick Springs.
Berwick.
Jesus. What the fuck are you doing, Joel Dusha?
I'm just reading.
In his defense, if he's never heard of it, that's how you would say it.
Berwick Springs Titans play a game, and hopefully you'll see a slightly bigger than usual man baby with a beard booting them from the back pocket.
Oh.
Happy New Year from Jake. Well, Jake, when we come and see you play footy, you're not going to be looking like a man baby anymore. You're going to be looking like a man that bashed his own dad. And no one will ever look more grown up than that. That's a rite of passage. You've split off from your dad's football team. You bashed him.
You're a man now.
And then you're going to fucking kick a ball 150 meters from the back pocket, kick 6 goals in a game, and we'll be there cheering you on from the sidelines. Huge.
Jesus. All right, well, if you want to email us about bashing your dad, not where you're going to do it, just let us know when you're going to do it. You can send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or get in touch with us on Twitter at howgoodsfooty or individually. I'm at awkwardtreed.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at douche13. And boys, it's good to be back.
It's good to have footy back soon. Yep.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.